Morning. Well, I think it's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit shows up and leads the service. And has things going together and it's leading there. Very much appreciated the prayers and the testimonies today. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the Gospel of John. Chapter 6. We'll be starting with the 16th verse. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed three and a half miles, he saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this day and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for how you work in us and through us in so many wonderful and awesome ways. Now, Lord, we just ask you would send your Holy Spirit to work within us by sending your Holy Spirit to give illumination, light to these scriptures so that we might have understanding, that we might understand that which requires spiritual understanding, not just earthly understanding. Lord, that you would give us that wisdom. Father, I ask that you would touch each person here this day, that as they come here, they would find real food and real drink that would feed their soul. Lord, lead me as I preach your word, that I might speak out of your infilling, and that I might give forth the truth and speak your words. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you, when you saw this message, thought that we're going to be talking about Peter trying to get out of the boat and walk with Jesus across the water? I mean, because that's the version that we get in Matthew. Mark doesn't talk about that, but that's the other place where we find. So three of the four Gospels do talk about Jesus walking across the water after feeding the 5,000. And that's what I originally thought I was going to be going. But when I read this earlier this week, it just jumped up at me and said, here I am, as far as where I think we're supposed to be going with this, where I believe God is directing us. Let me show you what that is. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. Now we read elsewhere that Jesus is the one who sent his disciples down there, and he sent them down and they told him to get in the boat and leave, and that he was going to go pray. Now his disciples didn't question this. They've been in the boat with Jesus before. They've crossed across the lake back and forth a number of times throughout the couple of years they've been together. We have another passage elsewhere where it speaks of him in the early stages of their discipleship, of Jesus sleeping in the boat as the storm comes up. But here we have Jesus saying, "Hey boys, take the boat and go. I'll catch up with you later." And they went. Not asking themselves, or not even wondering how he was really going to do that, they probably figured he'd get a boat. Find somebody to get a boat and bring them across. Walk. But that's not exactly what happened, is it? Middle of the night, a couple hours later, remember they had a strong wind blowing against them. Water was rough. They're rowing across this lake. How many of you have actually rowed a boat in heavy wind? It is not easy. It's a lot of work. And they're 3.5 miles into it. Roughly, they're out in the middle of the lake. They're not even just about to the other shore. They're in the middle. This is a big lake. Now they're out there, and out comes Jesus just trucking across the water. This is not the way the disciples expected Jesus to arrive. He hadn't done this one before. This one was brand new. I mean, this one, you know, Moses or Elijah or any of the other, nobody else had done this particular miracle before. I mean, part the water, walk on the dry land, okay. Walk on top of the water, this is different. Brand new. Not what the disciples were expecting at all. And it kind of spooked them a bit. They found this scary. Anybody here ever been scared because something was new or different? Said, "We're going to do it a new way." That's what was going on. Jesus, they're going, "How'd you get here?" The amazing thing is he tells them, "It's I, don't be afraid." And then they welcomed him into this boat. At that time, boom. Now they're no longer in the middle of the lake. The wind has died down. And they're immediately to the other side. Why didn't Jesus just, if you would, to the other side in the first place? It's kind of a question we all think. Well, we like to allegorize things. So some different schools like to really represent, well, you know, Peter represents the church, and when we look into Jesus' face, you know, when we look up as the church, we'll see the direction that we're supposed to go, and as long as we keep our faith, then we won't lose our way. And that's kind of the way that you generally go with this story, except John's not talking about that at all here. I'm going, well, what's the point? Then why be out in the middle of the water? Why have this story? What's going on here? And here it is, something brand new that's happening to the church. Something brand new happening to the disciples. They're all there were, that, in essence, of the kernel of the church at that point. And they were terrified by this change. And they'd been fighting to get across, but all of a sudden Jesus was there and they were through. It was done. So here we have the disciples who are looking at something different and being surprised by it. Then we see, followed immediately after this, the story of the crowd who goes looking the next day for Jesus at the same place, because they want the same thing they had yesterday. Signs and wonders. Free lunch. A miracle show. Step right up. You know, kind of Barnum and Bailey kind of thing is what they were almost getting into. But they were doing what was, which is a very common human trait. When God does something, one time, maybe even two times, we think, aha, we got to figure out. This is how it works. If we do this, God does that. I call it the magic formula syndrome. Okay? If it's real easy for pastors to fall into where people, you know, okay, if I raise my hand when I pray for somebody and I touch them like this, you know, then God does something. But if I do it the other way, nothing happened that last time. So I got to do it this way. Or we get into these weird things that it's how we do it or where we do it, or it's this methodology that somehow brings on the miracle. People, it's the Holy Spirit moving in power that brings a miracle, because God has decided it's going to be. But we oftentimes, leastwise I do, like to figure out what it is that if this goes on, then in this situation, then God does this thing. That it's always going to be that way. The fact of the matter is that while God is never changing, the way He does things is. He's always using new ways. He's always finding new and wonderful and awesome ways to do things. Like get from one way, one side of the lake to the other. How many of you would have thought about walking? It wasn't even thought. Well, we say, well, of course we thought. Why? Well, we've got this Bible story that we've been reading since we were a little kid that tells us about Jesus walking across the water. Now, without that story, how many people would have actually thought of such a crazy, silly thing? Now, everybody knows you can't walk on water. Unless it's Minnesota in January. But here we have Jesus doing it in a new way. And we have the disciples scared by that. And we have the people looking for a repeat performance. And we actually see in the first part of the next, where Jesus talks about being the bread of life. Let me read here what it says. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Their fleshly appetite was met. And he goes on to make some other statements, and later here he said, they asked him, well, how can we believe? What must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? Now this is the same man that they've been following around because he's been healing everybody. Person after person after person. He has this reputation for healing all sorts of illnesses that cannot otherwise be healed. This is the same man who fed 5,000 people. Actually, 5,000 men, probably closer to 10 or 15,000 total people, just the day before. And then that night, walked across the water to get to where he is. Because there was no boat. They knew there was no boat there for him, yet he got there. They said, well, tell me, what miraculous thing are you going to do for me today to make me believe that you're still God? But you see, what they wanted to do was direct him, I want you to do this thing. We want you to feed us again. we want you to heal this person and do this. Again, it was the telling the God what to do type thing. You've all heard the joke of people who want to serve God but in an advisory capacity. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I'd be more than happy to be an advisor to you. God doesn't need us as advisors. He needs us just to be willing to do what it is He tells us to do. As the disciples were when He said, go across the lake, I'll meet up with you. So what is this point that I was talking about? What was it that just kind of hit me? It's plain as day. It's that we as humans find it very easy to fall into the trap of wanting to do things the same way. We're quite often creatures of habit. Why is the sermon at the end of the service? Well, that's when we do it. Well, why do? Well, it's a good thing we don't have one of those liturgical churches, you know, where they do the same thing every Sunday. You know, they have that same prayer, that same. Maybe they sing the doxology after every. You know what? Every church has a liturgy, that just means order of service. And you know what you'll find is that we quite often do things almost the exact same way every Sunday. Because that's comfortable for us. And then what we find is that when we do see God do something, we associate what we were doing to what God did. And we think that if we do the same thing over and over again, maybe God will do that same thing again. Exactly the same way He did it last time. Instead of chasing after God, we get to chasing after that thing God did. Which is just like the people there who went chasing after the free lunch. They saw what He did. Hey, maybe we can get another one. See, it sounds so good. Here at the end where it said, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor His disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. But the fact of the matter is they weren't in search of Jesus. They were in search of what Jesus would do for them at their behest. You know, we're going to go to Him and see what we can get Him to do for us today. You know, maybe He can make that guy with the funny looking leg straight. Huh? Maybe we can get Him to get us another lunch. You know, I've got a cousin that is certified nuts. Let's see if he can drive out the demon and clear up that case of nuts. This is what they were going after, searching for Jesus, in search of Jesus. Again, not because they recognized their lost nature, but because they wanted to be entertained. They wanted their desires met. I don't know about you, but I can tell you, I have fallen into that trap. I have seen many people fall into that trap. Some of those are people that I refer to as conference junkies. Okay, I love to go to conferences, wonderful times. They can be these mountaintop experiences. But I know people, that's all they do. They don't actually go to church. They just go to conferences. You know, they want to live on the mountaintop without ever being in the valley. But it's the valley where all the food is grown. Where all that is nourishing and is good actually comes from. even though it is also the low place, which symbolizes our difficulties. Jesus walked on the water. He fed the 5,000. He healed the lame, the blind, the leprous. And we see that in instance after instant, He did it different ways. The lesson that jumped out and grabbed me here is that we need to be looking for what God is doing and celebrate that, instead of looking to what was done in the past and trying to repeat it. Now, sometimes the two are quite similar, the same. But not always. And God is always doing a new thing. Again, this isn't a message about throw away tradition in the past, it's all terrible. No, but it's about we're not to be locked in by our expectations, by our desires, by what makes us comfortable. What we're supposed to be doing is following the lead of Jesus. So it does come back maybe to Peter trying to walk on the water. And he didn't look at Jesus. He took his eyes off and saw the wind and the waves and got scared and sank. You can read that in Matthew chapter 14. What we need to be doing is looking at Jesus. And then we'll recognize what He's doing, and He'll take away that fear that we have of that new thing. That's how we'll know it's really God doing it. You see, if He doesn't take away that fear, then it's probably not God that's directing us to do it. But it doesn't mean we won't have fear up until the point where we receive Jesus into that boat with us. So, let's stop searching for Jesus where He used to be and asking for Him to do for us, to show us that He's still God. But instead, let's lift our eyes up and look and see where He's at and just receive Him into our lives. Not just to be here on Sunday, but to be in the boat with us as we travel through our lives. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You and thank You that Your love is awesome. And that it is so varied. We can see that in Your creation, that You love the variety. Then it's not, You could have just made one kind of bug, one kind of fish, one kind of tree, one kind of person. But instead, Lord, You have made such a variety and so many. It shouldn't surprise us that when You work, You do things different, that You don't always do it the same. And that we shouldn't be trying to follow some formula of how things happened in the past in order to bring something about in the future. But instead, that what we should be doing is following You. So, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to set down our expectations and to pick up your blessings. Help us to set away our fears and pick up your peace. Help us to set down our desires and pick up yours. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we